If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. The title of the message is A Church of Outreach. We're in a three-week series about why we exist as a church. The first Sunday in January, I chatted about we desire to be a church that senses God's presence. I trust that you have felt God's presence here. Even if you haven't felt God's presence here, His presence is here because there's at least one person in the room that has God's Holy Spirit living within them, and God's presence is here. I believe that's more than just one of us in the room. God's presence is here. We pray for God's presence every time we meet. Second, we desire to be a church of prayer. Every one of us in this room needs to be a person of prayer. I believe that we can be a church of prayer if we are persons of prayer. If you were here last week, you know I didn't use the word people of prayer because when we say people of prayer, then we just think of someone else. But I think when we think of persons, that makes it individual, that means us. And so may we be a church of prayer because we are persons of prayer. Now, if you were not here last week, then maybe you're out of this question. Well, not really. But if you were here this last week, how did you do in prayer this week? Did you have some adequate and valuable prayer times? Being in church last Sunday, did it spur you on to say, I need to find a desolate place. I need to find a place of prayer. I need to find a spot so I can spend time with my Heavenly Father because my Heavenly Father wants to spend time with me. I hope that you did. May we be a church of prayer. We're not there yet. May we gather and pray with one another, and we need to. Third, we desire to be a church of outreach. What does it mean? It means that each of us in this room have an impact upon our culture. It means that meeting together is good, and we want that, but soon we're going to go out of the doors, and hopefully it's a little warmer when we leave from the church. And when we go out, we're going to be near neighbors, coworkers, family, friends. There might even be some tourists, not a whole lot this time of the year, but there will be that we run into everyone we come in contact with. If you were able to be here on December 29, Pastor Mark preached on a message from Matthew chapter 28, which he entitled, which I agree with, The Command. The command is go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them and teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us to go. We need to have an outreach into the community. Now, I want you to know, as a senior pastor of First Wesleyan Church, I think there are times when it's good to have combined outreach events where you invite somebody to, but I also think it's so very much important that you know you are an outreach of Jesus. It's not just an event that takes place and you got to bring your friend to. It's you are an outreach. And so wherever you go, you have the awesome opportunity to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to point you today to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Let me read that to you, and then I want to talk about what this says. Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The first thing I want you to see here is this. Number one, you have beautiful feet. Now, would anybody like to take your shoes off today and come display your beautiful feet this morning? Anybody want to do that? Thank you for nobody volunteering. We don't need to do that. I actually thought maybe I should take my shoes off and just have my feet be shown all of the message, but you might not like that. And it might be one of those memories that you're like, no, I really didn't need to have that memory when I came to church today. But you have beautiful feet. Maybe you think you have wonderful looking feet. Maybe you've just had a pedicure and your feet are like top notch because somebody worked your feet really well. Or maybe you have ugly and calloused feet. Anybody have any ugly feet here today? Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you have a toenail that's just pretty messed up, or maybe you have hairy toes and you don't like the fact that you have hairy toes. Maybe your toes are bent a little bit, or maybe you have a bunion on your feet and you're like, ah, whatever kind of feet you have beautiful feet. So when you walk out of here today, you know that you have beautiful feet. And if you're married and your wife or your husband says, no, don't listen to them, okay? You have beautiful feet. It's not because of how they actually look. It's because of what they do. Where you go. You, as you leave from this church with your feet, because you're not going to leave them behind, please, you're going to share good news. Thus, your feet are beautiful. Praise God for that. Unless you don't have the good news. And so let me pause for just a moment. Because I want everybody to hear this. If you don't know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, please let me share that with you for just a moment. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you were born as a sinner, but Jesus Christ came into the world to provide for you salvation. He gave you an opportunity to receive Him as Savior and Lord, and every one of us need to have that opportunity. It's not from a grandma, it's not from a grandpa, it's not from a mom or a dad or a spouse. We each have the awesome opportunity to receive Him as personal Savior and Lord. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, today, right now, in this moment, would you be willing to say yes to the good news of salvation, of having peace and eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's good news. Many of us like to put our feet up. We like to rest. We like to take time off. And though that is a needed thing, there's also a culture that needs to hear the good news. Thus, we each have to use our feet in this way. I encourage you, walk to the places that need to hear of Christ's love. Run to the place that needs victory. If you're not a walker or a runner, then slumber to the arenas that need Jesus. And even if you plod, plod to hurt locations to share the good news. Just go. And because you do, your feet will be called beautiful. I assume that all of you that are here this morning, if you're a part of regular or you've been here before, you're aware of the 2020 challenge. If you're not, I'm going to talk to you for a couple of minutes about it. The overall aim of the 2020 challenge is this, that people will know the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they will leave their life of sin and come to a life of salvation and to a life of holiness. That's the desire of the 2020 challenge. The 2020 challenge is, would you be willing to invite 20 people in the year 2020 to church? Hear me in this. You don't need to invite anybody to church at all. Hold on, just a second. Pastor Steve, you said we're trying to invite people to church. It's not about inviting people to church. It's really about inviting people to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, sometimes it's pretty easy to invite somebody to church instead of talking to them about Jesus. Sometimes we, I have it all figured out, and you got it all figured out, so why not take an easy step of inviting someone to church? Let me tell you about this a little bit. Pastor Mark serves as our assistant pastor. He gave announcements here this morning. He oversees youth ministry, and he also does outreach. Prayed about an idea, and we talked about it as a staff, and we decided 2020 is a great idea. We have ordered wristbands for all of you to wear to remind you that you have a command to go. If you notice on this, there is nothing that says First Wesleyan Church on it. It actually has this, the 2020 challenge, and it has Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Why? Because you need to invite somebody to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's involved in inviting them to church. We think you should be a part of this. We're hoping that you'll invite somebody to church and somebody will receive repentance of sins. You all have on your chair this morning a little business card. I encourage you to take this and give it to someone. Who knows? They just might come. Wouldn't that be great? We hope in 2020 to have testimonies of how people have come to Jesus because you were willing to invite someone to church. Hear me in this. It's happened already, and it's going to happen. The people that you invite, some of them will not come. Oh, do you know what will happen if I go to your church? I've mentioned this before. It'll burn down. I am so far from God. And do you know what? Oh, our church isn't going to burn down. But some people aren't going to come to church because they don't feel comfortable or whatever. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't invite them to church. Maybe you don't feel comfortable inviting someone to church. Could I intrigue you to be the beautiful feet to just one person? And maybe just one person invite them? Maybe I've even mentioned this. Don't invite them to First Wesleyan. If you don't like this church and it doesn't work for you or they don't fit within this church, then invite them to a church down the road that proclaims Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. As long as they have an opportunity to know Christ. We just want people to know Christ and be discipled in the faith. Don't you? And because of that, invite someone and say, would you be willing to come to church? I encourage you to be bold. Invite someone. Sign up. I want you to think on this for just a moment. Currently, we have 38 people, 38 of you, that have signed up to be a part of the 2020 challenge. Now, if you count around this room, you will notice that there's more than 38 people in this room, which means that, one, some of you don't want to do it, which is fine. I'm not going to say that you don't have to do it. I just want you to think about, would I be willing to do this? Or two, maybe you haven't remembered to sign up yet. You could text me even now. On the front of your bulletin is my number. You could text me and say, I want to be part of the 2020 challenge. But I just want you to think about this for just a moment. What happens if 38 people invite 20 people to church? That's almost 800 new people or new families that we would have at First Wesleyan Church that would possibly come. What if we had 100 people, which we have more than 100 right here now? What if we had more? What if we had 100 of us that said, I'm going to try to do this? And let's say 20 people were invited. That's 2,000 people that could be invited in 2020. Well, I don't know anybody around me that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. I bet you do. And one of the things that's been encouraging, actually, is that some of you have invited someone, and you're like, oh, you go to church. Some of you have looked at some of those people and like, really, you go to church? I couldn't tell by your lifestyle. But it's also been a connecting point for some of you to be able to connect. How many people are in a church in Rapid City on Sunday morning? 10,000 people, maybe? 15,000? You're here, so you're not out counting people. I'm here, I'm not out counting people either. But think of this. If there is 15,000 people going to church on a Sunday, how many are in the Rapid City area? 75,000? You want to go 80? I don't know how many you want to go. 75,000 minus 15,000 leaves 60,000 people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, where do they end up in eternity? Shouldn't that intrigue us to use our beautiful feet to share good news? And you inviting one person could actually lead them to invite somebody else who could. It can just be a domino. I encourage you in this way. Use your beautiful feet. Number two, I want you to see this. You bring good news. This is a good point. You bring good news, not bad news. Let me give you some bad news just for fun. Impeachment hearings, sign stealing in Major League Baseball, marijuana, alcohol-related deaths, shootings, children starving, abortion, blizzards, wars, death, mass shootings. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you came to church today? I gave you bad news. Now let me switch it around. Let me give you some good news. I asked some of you to share some good news, and some of you were willing to do that. Let me share some good news. Being cancer-free, helping kids, having friends, snow fences, loved by many, open enrollment, grandchildren and grandchildren being close, protection from and in car accidents, good jobs, family, the Holy Spirit working, warm cars, warm houses, anniversaries, science project designs, getting a cast off, reading through the New Testament, good financial investment gains, books shared with family members, serving one another, kids that love unconditionally and teach us, Jesus Christ is Lord. One person in our church has invited 11 people to church already in 2020. Another piece of good news is Jesus is coming back. There's been a sale of house, a new house, pregnancies, gifts, visits to the San Bernardino Mountains, healthy bodies, healing from surgeries, work visits, where God guides, He provides. Sale of a house, seizure-free, cross-bearing. There's a bunch of good news. But now let me share you this. Isaiah 40, verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. A commentator says this. The gospel proclaims liberty to those bound with fears. But let me share, I've given you good news, but let me share you the best news. Christ died on the cross for your sins and promised you salvation. Here's what it says in Isaiah. He publishes peace. He brings good news of happiness. Who publishes salvation? Our God reigns. Shouldn't we be willing to share that with everyone? Two thoughts. One, I don't think that and I contend with all of us here, don't live this way every day. We don't live this way of saying, I've got good news. We talk about the impeachment hearings, and we talk about the weather, and we talk about all the negative, bad stuff. We have good news. We don't live this way. And then not only do we not live this way, but we don't share it enough. I don't do this. Would you be willing to share about God's great news every day? Every day. Here's what a commentator says, and I want you to catch what's happening in Isaiah 52. I think this is a neat scene here. The commentator says this, the prophet sees the messenger come bounding over the mountains of Judea to bring the good news to Jerusalem that her deliverance is come. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Nowadays, we receive messages through our email, through our phones. Messages come this way. We see it in our newspaper and magazines. But think back to this time period of what was happening. How did they get news? Somebody would come with the news. And so I want you to think about, you're sitting there waiting for news, and all of a sudden you see somebody bounding over the hills. You're wondering, are they bringing good news or bad news? Now, if you see somebody bounding, I don't know what you think about bounding, but I see somebody bounding over the hills, right? Somebody bounding. I was talking to Richard Smith this last week. And he said, you know, I wonder if what I should do during the message, if I should go across Elkville and come bounding, and everybody watch Richard Smith bound over the hills. Of course, he said he might fall in his bounding, and then he would tumble. I want you to think of not necessarily Richard Smith bounding, but think of the messenger bounding. I think of a cartoon character. Bong da 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 bringing good news. How beautiful upon the mountains is someone bounding, bringing good news. Now, Richard Smith or somebody else, as you're bounding, would probably fall. But do you know what Richard would do and the rest of you would probably do as well? You'd get up and you'd brush yourself off and you'd continue to come. This is like someone who is needing good news in their life of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't see yourself like this. But hear me in this. In the spiritual realm, what you're doing is you're bounding to someone to share with them good news. Do you see the picture? We don't see it. We just say, I got to talk to my friend about God, and I've got it all prepared, and I've got what I'm going to say, and I'm going to even invite him to church. And then you get to that moment, and you fumble, and you leave, and you're like, I really didn't even say that right. How did that happen? I invited him to a church down the road. How did that happen? That didn't work. When you bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, you bring good news, and sometimes you mess it up, but God won't let you down. The prophet, here's what this other commentator said, the prophet is describing the certain return of the Jews to their own land. He sees someone coming with beautiful running to declare that the long and painful captivity was closed, and then that the splendor of heaven was coming, which is exactly what we're doing when we share Jesus with someone to be a church of outreach. You have to look past why you're inviting the church or how uncomfortable you feel and invite people to Christ because they're captive in their sins. And then they say, how beautiful the feet of are those who bring good news. We don't typically see it, but God does. And he says, share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to see is this. You share peace. Our world is in turmoil, and you share peace. There was a story, and why should you come to church? There was a story that was told of this lady who was wanting to go to church, and she went to church, and she was greatly intrigued by the pastor who preached. I think his name was Ernest Erskine, but I might be incorrect there. And she was just, it was a wonderful service. And the next week she went and she was excited because she was going to hear the preaching of Ernest Erskine. And she showed up to church and you know what? It wasn't very good. And so she talked to the pastor and she said, you know, it wasn't very good. I came to hear the preaching of Ernest Erskine. And the pastor said this, because you missed it. You came the first time to hear the gospel from Jesus Christ, and I happened to be the messenger. The second week you came to hear the preaching of Ernest Erskine. You didn't come to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. No matter who shares from this pulpit up here, you come to church because God's word is going to be shared, and God's word is going to be peace. That's why you come to church. You should be in a church gathering each week. Next week, Pastor Bradley's actually going to be preaching on John chapter 14 about God's peace. John chapter 14, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You'll want to come and bring somebody who is struggling with peace. God says this, or Paul says this of God. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. The fourth thing I want you to see is this, God reigns. God reigns. Overall, in spite of turmoil, in spite of pain, and in spite of disease, God reigns. He reigns high above and he reigns. Trump doesn't reign. Putin doesn't reign. The Queen or whoever's in charge there doesn't reign. Boris Johnson doesn't reign. Your sports team doesn't reign. You don't even reign. God reigns. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. But now I want to move you to Romans chapter 10. If you would turn over to Romans chapter 10 with me, that would be great. It's on a Bible in front of you on page 946. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then go to verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now for verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom have they never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Shouldn't we be these people? Shouldn't we be these ones that would say, I need to be the preacher? I'm not the preacher, but I need to share the good news. How can they know? How can they call on someone whom they've not believed? Well, they've heard of God. Have they heard of God, or have they heard of other understandings of who God is? We have the awesome opportunity. And let me just pause for a moment to say this. I think everyone in this room should be sharing the good news with people around. But there's also opportunities sometimes for some individuals to be like me, to be in full-time Christian service somewhere, of sharing the gospel in that way. The Word of God says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And so maybe there's somebody here this morning that I need to be in full-time ministry. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Everyone in this room, though, needs to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a personal story in closing, if I can. I asked several of you via email as well as on Facebook to share some good news. I actually did that on Wednesday of this week, and things were pretty good for me on Wednesday, actually, until I'm sitting at my dinner table on Wednesday night. I'm sitting at my dinner table on Wednesday night, and I'm sitting with three of my kids at the dinner table, and I look down at my hand, and I no longer have my wedding ring on my hand. By the way, I have it. So you're going to know the end of the story. I had no idea where my wedding ring was. I take my wedding ring off when I play basketball a couple mornings a week, but other than that, I don't take my wedding ring off. I've had it on my finger since August 11 of 2001. And I looked down and I thought, where in the world is my wedding ring? I had stopped on my way home from church that afternoon to pay some medical bills, and so it was about 5 p.m., and so I left from the dinner table, and I went, and I looked at those three places, two of them had closed, and so I'm looking on the ground trying to find my wedding ring. Where in the world is my wedding ring? I don't know where it's at. Thinking, what in the world? One of the places I stopped, I reported a missing item, and I'm just like, what's going on? Questions circled around me. I don't know if you ever lost your wedding ring. I don't know if you wear your wedding ring or not, but I did, and this is a very big, important deal for me. It was a gift that Manel had got from me, and I'd lost it. It was a reminder. It's a symbol of commitment. It was important to me and just slipped away. Interestingly enough, earlier in the day, I'd asked everybody to share good news. This is not good news for me. The next day, Thursday, I got up and I went back to those three places. I'm like, have you seen my wedding ring? Nope, haven't seen your wedding ring. Can I leave my name and number? Yes, you may. I checked all over the car. I checked the car again. I checked my trash can at work. And I prayed this, God, I know you know where my ring is at. Why don't you just show me where it's at? I wrestled with these thoughts. Why did I lose it? How did I lose it? What does Manel think? And let me tell you this. My wife was very kind and very loving. She never looked at me and said, well, you big dummy, why did you lose it? Sometimes husbands and wives can do that and get very frustrated, but my wife did not. Actually, she said, just wait and see if it turns up. And she also said this, and I heard her words, I'm not disappointed in you, but disappointed that it's lost. I was saddened by the loss. I was like, what happens if I don't find it? Do I just go buy another one? I mean, I have the money for another one, but really? But then I had conflicting thoughts in my own heart. I'm like, but it's just a ring. I mean, we paid probably less than $200 for it. Could I replace it? Possibly. Does this ring symbolize more love to Manel than it does to Jesus? And does it spell out a problem for me that I cherish this so much and maybe not God enough? And all this happens as I am asking people to post good news. Is it really good news that I've lost my ring? On Friday, I stopped by a couple of places again just to look. And I went to another place and I looked around and asked. And no luck. People were kind and I still had no ring. And here's another thought that I had. There's a parable in the Bible that talks about a woman. And she lost something, a lost coin. And she swept and she looked for it, trying to find her coin, sweeping and cleaning. And this was a thought that I had. Am I more concerned about my lost wedding ring, which is of great concern to me, than I am about my neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior? And am I worried more about my ring than about people spending eternity in hell? And this is what I thought. How little of me to worry about my little ring problems, and it's a big deal to me. You understand the difficulties that I had? So on Friday, I came to the church. I go out to the dumpster because my trash had been emptied, and I thought, well, maybe I can check in the trash bag again. Maybe I missed it when I looked. And I bring the bag in here, and I start looking, and I realize it's the wrong bag, and so I just, whatever. Went to the bathroom, washed my hands, and I thought, you know, maybe I should just look in this trash can right here. There's a bunch of paper towels stacked high in the trash can. And sure enough, as I moved back the paper towels, there at the bottom of the trash can was my ring. Took a picture of it, sent it to my son who was at school, sent it to my wife. Here's my perplexing thoughts. Did God wait for me to find it so I could have good news? Should I have looked there first? Was this just a silly, big, no-deal part of my life? Or maybe God is reminding me that there is good news. What if I wouldn't have found my ring? Hear me in this. God is still on the throne and he's reigning. And he made my life just a little bit sweeter for enabling me to find my ring. Or maybe just maybe, God was telling me to tell you that those cherished things in our life that are very important are so minuscule to people's souls. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. We want to be a church of outreach. And I encourage you, from the depth of my core, be willing to talk to somebody about Jesus this week. I think it'd be great to invite him to church. If you don't invite him to church, that's fine. But invite him to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's kind of easy at times to invite people to church. Maybe someday you'll be like me. Maybe you have already lost something and you didn't find it. Please know this. Our cherished items are nothing compared to people's souls. Stand with me, please. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? And as you're just standing in God's presence today, I just want to I just want you to think about who you need to talk to about Jesus. Maybe even invite them to church. Step out. You publish peace. You bound and bring good news. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person that's here. I believe they're here on purpose. And again, I just pray for somebody here this morning who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord. I pray that right now they would say yes to you and they would know of the good news in their life, that you would exhibit peace. And then, God, I pray that you would encourage us, challenge each one of us in this room as we leave from this place to be a church of outreach, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that our church would just be compounded with individuals that are far from you or close to you, but they make that change and they receive you as Savior and Lord. And they hear of the good news and they have peace despite the turmoil that's in their life. God, there's a number of people around us that are just sinking. They are looking for something good. There's divorce and tragedy and abuse and addiction. And they need to be rescued from that. And we know that you are the rescuer. So God, would you enable us to be bold, enable me to step out of my little comfort zone, out of my little comfortable area, and to be willing to say, do you know Jesus? So God, help us to be bold. And may there be great harvest that happens because people need you. Thank you, God, for hearing this prayer. And I pray for grand things to happen this week through each individual in here. Every boy and every girl and every man and every woman of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.